This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Embassy opening in Israel. Good morning. I'm Mike Gavin, filling in for Gordon Deal along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Monday, May 14th, 2018, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The new U.S. Embassy opens today in Jerusalem, fulfilling a campaign promise by President Trump while angering others in the U.S. and around the world.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo opens the doors to a lifting of sanctions on North Korea if the country agrees to dismantle its nuclear weapons.
Two new cracks have opened up on Hawaii's Kilauea volcano, threatening nearby homes and prompting authorities to order new evacuations.
And where to find the best travel deals this summer.
You know, there's just a lot more air service out there. There are more hotels. There are bargains to be had both domestically and to Europe. There's just a huge amount of new capacity to Europe, and that's brought cheap fares to all kinds of places.
That's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. His best bets for summer travel coming up in about 20 minutes. The U.S. Embassy in Israel opens today in its new location, Jerusalem, fulfilling a campaign promise of President Trump while also dialing up tension. Mr. Trump's decision to relocate the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv has faced fierce criticism from European and Arab officials, who say it could hamper any future peace negotiations. Palestinians are refusing to meet with representatives of the Trump administration and say they no longer recognize the U.S. as the main broker of peace talks with Israel. Administration officials, including National Security Advisor John Bolton, appearing on ABC over the weekend, touted the move as a step toward peace.
If you're not prepared to recognize that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and that's where the American embassy should be, then you're operating on a completely different wavelength. I think recognizing reality always enhances the chances for peace.
The U.S. embassy opening culminates nearly 6 months of preparations. The State Department spent about $400,000 to retrofit a consular building in Jerusalem's Arnona neighborhood, straddling West Jerusalem and what is called No Man's Land, a contested area that lies in between the 1949 armistice lines. Ahead of the new opening, new road signs for the embassy appeared near the site. Mr. Trump won't attend the opening ceremony, but will address the proceedings by video. The U.S. delegation is being led by Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan and includes Mr. Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner, daughter and senior advisor Ivanka Trump, and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that Washington would agree to lift sanctions on North Korea if the country agrees to completely dismantle its nuclear weapons program, a move he says would create economic prosperity that will rival that of South Korea. Pompeo appeared on Fox News Sunday.
Private sector Americans coming in to help build out the energy grid. They need enormous amounts of electricity in North Korea to work with them to develop infrastructure.
President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un have a planned June 12th meeting in Singapore, the first such encounter between a sitting U.S. president and a North Korean leader. Last month, Pompeo became the first known U.S. official to meet with Kim, where he helped lay the groundwork for the upcoming meeting with Trump. North Korean state media reported over the weekend that the country had scheduled the dismantlement of its nuclear bomb site for later in May, and Pompeo welcomed that news, saying that it was good for the American people and the world. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said three American prisoners freed by North Korea had left Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Washington and had been reunited with their families. In choosing Singapore for their historic summit, President Trump and Kim Jong-un agreed on a neutral nation known as a bastion of law and order, where even littering can draw a heavy fine. More now from USA Today military writer Jim Michaels. So why Singapore, Jim?
Well, it is a somewhat neutral country. It is in Asia, and so it's also a very secure country. It's sort of known for its law and order regime. You know, they chewing gum. They ban the import of chewing gum in order to help keep the city clean. Littering gets heavy fines. civil liberties are somewhat proscribed. The media, again, is controlled somewhat. So I think there's a way to do it there. You know, it's seen as very secure. It's a neutral location. I think there was some talk about the DMZ, you know, between South and North Korea. But that, I think, Washington was a little concerned about, because that might look like President Trump was going to Kim's sort of home turf. And also the South Korean media and so forth is more open and free. And I think the concerns about, you know, the kinds of images that we saw when the South Korean president, Kim Jong-un, met on the DMZ were probably worrying to the White House as well. So there's a number of things that make Singapore a good location.
You mentioned that it should be a good spot for these orchestrated photo ops. How so?
Well, right, exactly. So again, at the DMZ, there were a lot of optics, again, with South Korea's President Moon, you know, holding hands, walking, stepping into North Korea, a lot of, you know, video and cameras. I think in Singapore, I think what you'll probably see is a much more controlled environment. They'll go behind closed doors. They might come out for some photo ops, depending on how things go, where they shake hands and you take a couple photographs and everybody, the media sort of goes away. Because what the White House doesn't want the images to sort of drive everything else, either in a bad way or in a good way. You want to see what happens behind closed doors. Are they able to reach a broad agreement, a general agreement, and things are going well? Or if they're not, you don't want these very happy images to go all over the place to sort of build up expectations that simply can't be fulfilled by the substance of what the discussions produce.
We're on the phone with USA Today military writer Jim Michaels. Jim, does the fact that the U.S. Navy makes port calls in Singapore, is that a point of contention?
I think North Korea so far has been fairly, at least on the surface, fairly flexible. Again, they released these last three American detainees that they had been holding and have agreed to suspend testing and so forth. So I think they've been somewhat flexible, at least on the surface. The other thing is, North Korean officials have gone to Singapore in the past for meetings and so forth. They do have an embassy there. So while Singapore does have this relationship, a close defense relationship and trade relationship with the U.S., it also has been a place where North Korean diplomats have gone and meet and so forth. And I'm told that that had something to do with it as well. That's important for North Korea. They want to go somewhere where they've been before, where they have an embassy, where they've got a facility, they can house people and so forth, communications and the like. So it made sense from that, from the North Korean standpoint as well.
So will any type of press be restricted since we are still dealing with North Korea?
No, not really. No, I think, you know, from, you know, there'll be contingents, obviously, of Western reporters that won't be affected at all. But the security environment, I think that the concern is imagery and so forth, TV and video and the like.
All right, thanks, Jim. USA Today military writer Jim Michaels. Speaking, by the way, of tight law and order, Reuters reported that a man was fined $15,000 several years ago after being caught on surveillance camera throwing cigarette butts out of his apartment window. I think you got to be minding your P's and Q's if you're going to Singapore.
Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Pyo, Hip Hop Abs, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and more. Hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding, weight training, and cardio HIIT to yoga and even dance workouts. Workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require extra equipment. In the time it takes you to drive and park at the gym, you could be finished working out. Insanity is a great program. No extra equipment needed, and Sean T. will definitely keep you motivated throughout. Awesome trainer for sure. Right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text the word Gordon to 303030. You'll get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text the word Gordon to 303030.
Gordon's off today. I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for coming by. President Trump said he was working with Chinese President Xi Jinping to keep Chinese telecommunication giant ZTE in business, throwing an extraordinary lifeline to the company that has been laid low by U.S. moves to cut off its suppliers. More now from this morning's Dave Duncan.
The surprise move comes less than a month after ZTE was hit with an order banning U.S. companies from selling components to them. Commerce Department directed companies to stop exporting to ZTE in mid-April, saying the firm violated the terms of a settlement over evasion of U.S. sanctions against Iran and North Korea. The Commerce Department is reviewing ZTE's request for a stay of that order. Mike?
Thanks, Dave. President Trump tweeted yesterday morning that he was working with Mr. Xi to get ZTE, quote, a way to get back into business fast, citing what he called too many jobs lost in China. He also tweeted that he was instructing the Commerce Department to, quote, get it done. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer responded on Twitter by asking, how about helping some American companies first? 20 minutes after the hour now, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Mike, the U.S. is set to open its new embassy in Jerusalem today, a move praised by Israel but condemned by Palestinians who are gathering for mass protests. Top U.S. officials will attend the event, including President Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
We are deeply grateful, and our people will be eternally grateful for his bold decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and to move the embassy there.
Palestinians seek East Jerusalem as their own future capital and see the U.S. move as backing Israeli control over the whole city. President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital breaks with decades of U.S. neutrality on the issue and puts it at odds with most of the international community. The U.S. is offering assurances to North Korea's Kim Jong-un as it seeks to put in motion the potential for a sweeping nuclear deal ahead of President Trump's June summit with the North Korean leader. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. will need to provide security assurances to Kim if they're able to forge an agreement. He appeared on Fox News yesterday.
There's a great deal of work that remains. Our eyes are wide open with respect to the risks, but it is our fervent hope that Chairman Kim wants to make a strategic change.
Pompeo met with Kim last week in North Korea, helping set the stage for Trump's meeting with Kim in Singapore on June 12th. The world's largest active geyser erupted again in Yellowstone National Park. The U.S. Geological Survey says the Steamboat Geyser erupted early yesterday, its fifth eruption this year. The agency says there's no indication of any volcanic activity in the park, and most geysers are intermittent, but the string of eruptions is a good sign. Summer visitors will get to see some spectacular geysering. Steamboat has gone dormant for as long as 9 years. Its first eruption since 2014 occurred in mid-March. Naming your daughter after a voice assistant isn't all that popular anymore. Since Amazon introduced the Echo smart speaker with its Alexa command, the number of newborn girls named Alexa has tumbled by 33% to about 3,400. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos says he came up with that name, Alexa, based on its use in Star Trek.
Yeah, well, the problem is when you go, hey, Alexa, who's going to come? Is it going to be robot Alexa or is
or
it going to be
real
Alexa? So, yes, that can cause some confusion. Thanks very much, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour now on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the hottest spots for summer travel. Well, all signs point to this looking more and more like the summer to jump on a vacation to Europe. Airline capacity is growing, especially among low-fare carriers. Expedia says it's more than 40% cheaper to fly from New York to Barcelona over July 4th weekend compared with last year, and 20% cheaper into London. Tickets to Paris from L.A. over Labor Day weekend have been 55% cheaper. More now from our own Gordon Deal.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. He's written a piece entitled Where the Travel Deals Are This Summer. So what's the landscape look like for us?
Well, it's going to be a really busy summer. Already bookings for summer are up 11%, according to a firm that processes about half of all the tickets that are sold in the U.S. So I think, you know, there's just a lot more air service out there. There are more hotels. There are bargains to be had, both domestically into Europe. There's just a huge amount of new capacity to Europe, and that's brought cheap fares to all kinds of places.
Wow. All right, so it's about capacity, I guess, because I was thinking, why would there ever be a travel deal in the summer when everybody knows those of us with kids are out of school and it's the easiest time for us to travel, and we're the ones who always get mugged?
Yeah, it is. It is about capacity. The demand is certainly up. You know, the economy's doing okay. The dollar's weakened a bit, but it's not too bad. And you know, for some destinations, I think there's a little pent up demand. Seeing a really big surge to Europe. Some of that may be people who put off trips the last couple of years out of terrorism concerns or whatever. There's still plenty of places in the Caribbean that are still recovering, and so that's pushed demand elsewhere. I think the biggest thing that's going on is the growth of low-cost carriers, both domestically in the U.S. and across the Atlantic. It's just when you add new flights, and Frontier and Spirit are growing, JetBlue's growing, Southwest is growing, and the big guys are responding.
Wow. Well, I was surprised at the one stat. The one consultant you talked to said, was it something like the number of available seats are up by a third since like the past 5-6 years? That's a huge number.
It is a huge number. And that's for all transatlantic service. It'll be, I think, up about 6% this year after an 8% increase last year. And it's not just the new entrants, although they're certainly sparking a lot of it, but it's also the competitive responses from incumbent airlines and just the growth of big airlines.
Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney and the familiar voice of our own, Gordon Deal, coming up on 30 minutes after the hour now on This Morning, America's First News.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 4 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
34 minutes after the hour, Mike Gavin in for Gordon Deal on this Monday, May 14th. Here's some of the stories we're following for you today. As expected, the new U.S. Embassy will open in Israel today. President Trump pledges on Twitter to help out a Chinese company that's been hurt by U.S. sanctions. Hawaii's Kilauea volcano continues to hurl rock and magma on the Big Island. The Celtics beat up on LeBron and the Cavaliers in Game 1 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. And why some parents think that their toddlers could use an early and expensive education in the fine art of record scratching. That story in about 20 minutes. You'll remember President Trump's campaign-style rally last week in Elkhart, Indiana, a city of just over 50,000, 150 miles north of Indianapolis. Among the things that are interesting about Elkhart is the fact that, according to one Wall Street Journal writer, the self-proclaimed RV capital of the world gives us a glimpse of what the American economy looks like when operating at full tilt. For example, high school students in the city of Elkhart skip college for factory jobs that offer great pay and benefits. For hire signs sprout up like roadside weeds, and workers are so flush that car dealers can't keep new pickups on the lot. Wall Street Journal's senior editor Bob Davis paid a visit. Bob, explain what you found there.
I mean, in Elkhart, the unemployment rate is remarkably low. It's been under 4% for quite some time. And you see things that you wouldn't expect to have seen in the United States anymore. People who graduate high school can go out and get a job that pays, you know, $40,000, $50,000, even more. There's no foreign competition. There's hardly any automation. In some ways, you know, this is a special case. It's a city that depends a lot on the production of recreational vehicles. But in other ways, it is representative because what we're facing now in this country is a labor shortage. Go figure that one. Who would have thought that about a year ago?
You mentioned some strains are beginning to show in Elkhart. How so, Bob?
Well, I mean, so the downside of very low unemployment is a lot of inflationary pressures and an inability of a place like Elkhart to diversify. I mean, it's a, again, it's a city that depends a lot on the production of recreational vehicles. It's the RV capital of the world, they like to call themselves. But, I mean, you know, come the next recession, and there will be a recession at some point, people will stop buying RVs and they'll get clobbered again. So that's, you know, that's certainly a problem. And also it's a problem, you know, the downside of getting out of high school and getting a job is people that go on to college and they need more training, you know, for times that aren't as good as they are at the moment. And so they'll be stuck once again, which happens, you know, in a recession and people lose their job in the factory and then they don't know what to do.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis. Bob, the majority of jobs in Elkhart came from where?
Well, so when things got really bad during the recession, again, I mean, I'm sort of repeating myself, but you can't overemphasize how much this place is known as, you know, for making RVs. So, you know, the economy goes into the tank. What's one of the first things people will stop buying is an RV. I mean, they can obviously live without it. And since the place was so dependent on RVs, the unemployment rate shot up to 20%. It became, for Obama, it became the symbol of, you know, what was going wrong with America and why we needed, why the U.S. needed a stimulus plan. So the stimulus plan helped a little bit in some ways, but mainly what happened is the economy recovered. People had more money in their pocket. They wind up buying more RVs. The RV makers are smart about what they're doing. They come out with less expensive, you know, models and models that you don't need a big pickup truck to haul. You can haul them with an SUV. And so because the work is so concentrated, it the demand for employment just shoots up. Again, I mean, you know, I mean, if you're sitting in Elkhart and you're responsible for the economy there, you realize, of course, what do you need to do? You need to diversify. But it becomes very difficult because if even the local manufacturers have a hard time getting workers, why in the world would some other manufacturer move in there? And also, I mean, it's, you know, it's a nice town. It's a nice Midwestern town, but it isn't a town with a lot of amenities. And so if you're kind of a, you know, a service worker, if you're lawyers, accountants, doctors, you know, people of that sort, South Bend with Notre Dame is, you know, 15, 20 miles away, and people tend to move there. So they, you know, they're at a sweet spot at the moment, but there's a lot of, you know, potential downside as well.
All right. Thanks very much, Bob. Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis. 21 minutes in front of the hour now on This Morning, America's First News. The online reference website Wikipedia may seem like a free-for-all, but believe it or not, there are editors, and plenty of them, making sure the crowdsourced site upholds a high set of standards and is, for the most part, accurate in the facts it represents. Editing Wikipedia is a passion for the people who volunteer to do it, and that passion can ignite some heated discussions about both style and substance on the site. More again from Gordon Deal.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal courts and criminal justice reporter Corinne Ramey. She's written a piece entitled The 15 People Who Keep Wikipedia's Editors from Killing Each Other. All right, explain what you found here, Corey.
Well, so Wikipedia is, as everybody knows, online crowdsourced encyclopedia, and essentially anybody can edit it. And most of the time, people get along pretty well. It works sort of through community consensus, and editors sort of work things out by themselves. But sometimes these conflicts come up, the kind of conflicts that come up when you're editing, like things over commas, word choice, what sources you can use, and these editors just sort of go at it so much that they need sort of an outside panel to decide what to do.
Wow. So this full-time panel, is it full-time, or does it get called on at certain times when disputes are really big?
When disputes are really big, so just to be clear, this panel is called the Arbitration Committee, and it essentially functions like a high court and has 15 members, and Wikipedia editors will sort of request that the panel hear a case.
Wow.
So this is just like a real court. And then the members of the committee, they vote, they decide, oh, should we take it? And if they decide to, it goes through a process that's much like the court process.
No kidding. So who are these folks? Are these like grammar and fact experts, research experts? Who are they?
These they tend to be people who have Wikipedia editing experience, and they're elected. But they're not necessarily grammar and fact experts. In fact, in talking to them, I found that a lot of them, they didn't want their identities known, but they're pretty much regular people with regular lives. There were people in Japan, Australia, the UK, the US, even, say, there was a librarian, a former staffer for presidential candidate John Kerry. Wow. So it really ran the gamut.
How about that? So you mentioned they operate like the Supreme Court. Does that mean there are some political biases here?
I think perhaps because they're not quite operating in a political space, that political biases don't quite apply, that you have people from all over the world. The issues they're deciding typically aren't political ones per se, but more how do we deal with this particular issue of user misbehavior.
Mm. I thought it was interesting that one guy you quoted, this Ira Metesky, said there are things that wouldn't start an argument anywhere else that can still start an argument on Wikipedia. Like what?
Absolutely. Say, like, there was an argument about should individual television episodes get Wikipedia articles, or should these, like, small-town elected officials in New Jersey, like, should they get their own article? And these things get heated. I mean, people really, really go nuts over these kind of disputes.
Wow. We're speaking with Corey Ramey, Wall Street Journal courts and criminal justice reporter. She's written a fun story called The 15 People Who Keep Wikipedia's Editors From Killing Each Other. Did you say they're elected, these 15?
They're elected, yes.
Wow, how does that work?
It's basically an election on Wikipedia. Various people run for this position,
wow,
and then other Wikipedia editors vote on who gets it.
So, I mean, how often are they called on to arbitrate something?
So in some of the early years of this panel, it was like more than 100 cases per year.
Okay.
These days, it's much less. It can be only a handful. And part of that is because they've gotten pretty stringent about when they take cases and when they don't.
Wall Street Journal reporter Corinne Ramey with our own Gordon Deal. 12 minutes in front of the hour now on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
Gordon's off. I'm Mike Gavin, keeping the seat warm on this Monday. Don't forget, if you miss anything from today's show or want to hear something again, make sure you follow us on social media. It's also a great place to keep track of Gordon while he's away. You can, of course, follow us on Facebook. Also, follow the show on Twitter at This Morning Show. Gordon is tweeting, maybe even as we speak, at Gordon Deal, and I'm tweeting whenever the mood strikes at Radio Gavin 1. 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka has returned with more of America's First News.
Mike, a new fissure in Hawaii's Puna district sent gases and lava exploding into the air, spurring officials to call for more evacuations as residents wait for a possible major eruption at Kilauea's volcano summit. Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator Talmadge Magno says he issued an emergency cell phone alert after the fissure was discovered early yesterday morning.
We're just kind of working the immediate need as far as evacuating folks that are threatened close by.
Two nearby community centers are serving as shelters for people and pets. Employees of ZTE Corporation, the Chinese telecom equipment maker, are cheering a tweet by President Trump that suggests a resolution is in sight for a devastating ban on sales to the Chinese company. In an unexpected reversal of a hardline U.S. stance on the issue, Trump said on Twitter yesterday that he and Chinese President Xi Jinping are working together to give ZTE a way to get back into business fast. Citing the loss of many jobs in China, ZTE was last month hit by a move by Washington to forbid U.S. firms supplying the Chinese company with components and technology after it was found to have violated U.S. export restrictions by illegally shipping goods to Iran. Experts are now convinced they have finally uncovered what happened to Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, which disappeared en route from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing with 239 passengers on board in March of 2014. A panel of aviation experts who have been working toward an explanation for the vanishing Boeing 777 now agree that the captain was attempting suicide. They believe he selected a remote and isolated part of the route so the plane would disappear. The captain managed to evade detection by military radar belonging to either Thai or Malaysian forces. Tidal, the music streaming service run by Jay-Z, will soon have new offerings from Prince. A new album featuring previously unreleased music from Prince's vaults will make its debut on Tidal sometime next year. The Prince estate and Tidal announced details of the agreement after a Minnesota judge said it was in the best interest of the estate to end litigation and allow that deal to go forward.
All right, so unabashed Prince fan Jennifer Koshenka, will this then put you over the edge and make you sign up for Tidal?
Oh, no.
No. You probably have everything already, or at least everything that you need from the Prince collection,
well,
I'm sure,
I'm
at this point.
Anxiously awaiting these to hear them. But
there we go.
Yeah.
All right, 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Well, kids' classes certainly aren't what they used to be. You're no doubt familiar with some of the staples of kids' extracurriculars from the previous generation, including gymnastics, art, and music, with the hope often being that this kind of exposure will help enrich their lives and set them down a path toward an Ivy League school. But now, some parents are forking over a small fortune to enroll their children in some pretty off-the-wall preschool programs. Case in point, how about a $200 DJing class? According to Moneyish.com, if classic nursery rhymes aren't your jam, this totally modern take on music lessons will prep your little one to be the life of the party. Starting at just 2 months old and offered through age five, Baby DJ School offers 8-week sessions for $200. Each class introduces electronic, hip-hop, and house music to the group through singing, dancing, and interactive technology, like mixing and scratching beats. And if that's not your speed and you want to raise a more outdoorsy child, how about gardening classes? A Los Angeles-based company called Little Saplings offers hands-on classes designed for parents and kids from early preschool age through adulthood to learn about gardening topics like planting potted gardens and growing vegetables. The cost? Typically around $85 per hour. Try not to hurt yourself reaching for your wallet this early in the morning. And that'll do it for this hour. For Gordon Deal and Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.